Podcast City Network. The Everett Lee Show.
Welcome everyone to the Everett Lee Show. I'm the Everett Lee. This episode, Loki. That's right. Chris Carnage from the Chris Carnage Show and Final Score joins me on this episode talking about Loki. We discuss the six episodes in season one of Loki, and afterwards we discuss the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies with what's to come and what to look forward to after Loki, because this was a great episode that I did, and having Chris come back. Ripper Blackheart was supposed to be on the episode, however, he had to bow out. He was under the weather, but I'll get Ripper back on a later episode discussing more stuff about comics, wrestling, and all that stuff that Ripper's great at discussing. But on this episode, Loki, what a great show. I enjoyed it, and I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as I did. As we dive into this discussion, this was taken from a recent Facebook Live podcast on my Facebook page, The Everett Lee Show. You can follow and like that page, and you can also follow me on Twitter at The Everett _Lee. Why I throw that out there, and Podcast City Network. Shout out to all the shows and the content over on Podcast City Network. Without further ado, here we go. Let's get into this podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I want to welcome to the program tonight none other than our favorite resident of the Everett Lee Show, the one and only Chris Carnage. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, fans. Doing pretty good, man. Really excited to be here tonight and talk about Loki. I know I've been fangirling out watching it, so definitely going to be a lot of exciting stuff to talk about tonight.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff that we'll be talking about and discussing here on the program tonight with Loki. And Loki. Wow.
Oh, man.
If you really think about it, Chris, Loki, man, he's been one character since 2012 in the last, what, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
No, 9 years. That's the character that you love to hate and hate to love. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's one of those characters, man. He was first introduced into Thor there, and you kind of got a lot on his backstory there. I'm adjusting my camera here. You got a lot on his, a little bit on his backstory there on what happened in the first Thor movie and stuff. You saw the relationship with Thor, and then when he found out that he was adopted, he all went crazy there, you know? He just hated the fact that he was a part of the Frost Giants. We saw what happened with Thor and Thor, the Dark World, and Ragnarok. And my opinion is I think Loki was his best on Thor Ragnarok. But Avengers, in the first Avengers, we saw what happened. He wanted to rule and take over with the Tesseracts and just chaos and destruction. That's what Loki is. And he met his match with the Hulk. We've seen how that happened. But other than that, Loki just, with the beginning of Infinity War, Loki got his ass handed to him by Thanos. Killed him. People were upset. Loki's dead. But he makes that one final appearance, we think, an Endgame, when the Avengers try to go back and fix everything Thanos did with the Infinity Stones, Chris. And Tony Stark messed up. The Tesseract fell out of his hands, and he grabbed a hold of it, and he disappeared. And that was a big question. Where'd Loki go? What happened? Introduce the show Loki. We get to see what happens to Loki right after he picks up the Tesseract and he disappears, man. I want to talk about that first episode, that first opening there. He gets the Tesseract and it shows him going to, I think it was Mongolia back in the day. And the Loki shouting off who he is and he's everything, and then all of a sudden the TVA shows up. and they tried to manhandle him, and it didn't work because he got his ass handed to him, and he got brought into the TVA, and so therefore we're introduced to the TVA. What was your reaction, man, when he got his ass kicked, when he got stunned, and he's moving in slow motion, and they're just moving regularly?
Oh, dude, that was hilarious. Glorious Purpose was a great episode. But to open up with that and him just getting just time smacked, I like to call it, just was absolutely ridiculous. And I think it kind of made him realize that, okay, this is some otherworldly power kind of stuff. So definitely was some good, real funny way to open it up.
Yeah, it was a great opening there. And him going through the process of the TVA, that was funny there. And it's like, this is the last word you said. What? and then puts another piece of paper down. And he's standing in line, which I think was funny, is because he had to have his ticket. And why he's sitting there waiting in the line, like, I like how they did that right there. How they showed it almost, did it not remind you of, like, standing in the DMV?
Oh, yeah, captured, for sure.
I hate the DMV. I know you hate the DMV. Everyone hates the DMV.
The worst.
It is. It is. In the chat real quick, Chris, I want to give a shout out to JD. The show sent him in to Tom Hiddleston as the best Loki over Matt Damon and Dogma Jim Carrey. Excellent humor moments with minimum dialogue. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah, you saw the guy that was up front who got,
pruned.
Yeah, pruned. He got pruned and disappeared, and he's looking for his ticket, and while he's sitting there waiting so he don't get pruned, we get a better look at what happens with the TVA. Their whole purpose was, everyone's on a timeline. You go off that timeline, your set timeline. They come and they get you and they reset you back in that timeline to go on. So that's why Loki's there. He was not supposed to grab the Tesseract and disappear. He was supposed to go on his timeline there. And he jumped off his timeline. And I like the fact that the one question was answered when he went in front of the judge there was, look at the Avengers. Look what they did. They did. Mm-hmm. They went back in time. And that answer was, they were supposed to do that.
What?
What?
Exactly. But I thought it was really good, too, because once they bring him in, and then Mobius ends up stepping in to be able to help him out a little bit, thinking he can help him with this case, and everything kind of transcends from there. But the one thing that really stood out to me as Mobius was digging into Loki, trying to learn about Loki, what makes a Loki, all these kinds of things, and he ends up finding out that he inadvertently caused the death of his adoptive mother, Frigga, which I thought was a very huge moment. And then we also got to see how Loki should have went, how everything should have been for Loki had the timeline stayed the same. So being able to witness his own death, I'm sure it was probably a pretty crazy moment, but yeah, man, it was really cool to see that the character really go down that path of seeing all of these things.
Yeah, it was. He got a glimpse into his future because this is the 2012 version of Loki that that we're dealing with here, not the version that we seen later on in the other Marvel movies. This version of Loki, his world got to pretty much open up there to where, like, whoa, this is my destiny. This is what's going to happen. And I think it was great that, yeah, Owen Wilson's Morbius was trying to develop a relationship. And finally, he realizes towards the end of the episode why they need him. And it was to catch another Loki. And he's like, what? I was kind of shocked there. I was like, another Loki? And from stuff I was reading about there beforehand was that there were going to introduce different variants of Lokis. And there was talk about a female version, which in episode 2, we see Loki and the working with the TVA, trying to track down this other variant and stuff. I love that opening episode there, set in the 80s there with the soundtrack and everything.
Oh, yeah. Right there in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
I wonder what that connection is there with that, the reason why they did that there. What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of different things that it can go, but the one thing I saw is just once they finally found some of their missing people and were able to inevitably have to fight them as well. That's what I'm saying. There's so much that goes into this and what the variant that they're hunting down is doing. So very interesting storytelling that they have here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the really good storytelling there, because they didn't know if they could trust Loki or not. And he was trying to convince them, and he had that talk there about with Morbius about trusting me, this is what I can do and stuff, and he's like, yeah, right, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I wouldn't trust a Loki. Would you trust a Loki?
I wouldn't trust a Loki.
Hell no. I wouldn't trust a Loki. Because the chance he would get that opening, he would get the hell out of there and just do whatever, which would be a loose cannon. But it was neat how I liked it when he went into the library there and he was trying to figure out, you know, doing research, and he's wanting to find out stuff, and it's like, you're only allowed access to this. And then while he's doing the research, he finds out that where is this variant of himself hiding? It's hiding in Apocalypse's. Perfect. Perfect. Because the Apocalypse is in that timeline that happens, and when that happens, that there's, you could do anything within that minute. And I like how he tested that theory when they went to the famous volcano eruption there.
Oh, Pompeii.
And he's running around there saying, I'm a god and everything, and then Morbius starts freaking out and stuff. He's like, you're gonna spike the timeline. He's like, no, I'm not. And he's doing all this stuff, and he's like, you people are gonna die. Like, at, he's like, you're all gonna die. Lava's coming to kill you.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
And then, but it let.
Yeah.
What are you gonna say though?
I was gonna say nothing happened. It didn't spike.
Yeah, it didn't spike. Nothing happened, and it led them to being able to figure out where they could find this variant, which ended up being in 2050 Alabama during a horrific hurricane where nobody lived.
Wow. Yeah. In a shopping center, or like a shelter. They were using a place for the shelter for the hurricane. And they went in there, and I was a little thrown off there because for the fact that this variant was jumping from body to body, which I think was pretty neat, enchanting, which we find out later that's what the variant was doing, enchanting. And then finally at the end of him battling all these other people, variants, which I thought was neat, was the fact that we finally get a look at the female Loki, and oh god, she's bad.
Oh yeah,
she is bad.
She is something else.
Yeah, and pretty much she leaves. She has one of the things where she can actually leave, like the TVA agents can leave. And she pretty much leaves, and at that last minute there, because she enchanted one of the TVA agents, and they were messed up. And Renslayer didn't like the fact about this because they were so close, and Renslayer personally wants to catch this Loki, which we find out in the next episode, where Loki went with the female version of Loki, which she refers to herself, she wants to be called Sylvia. So Sylvie, that's what she wants to be known as. And we see a little backstory with like a flashback with one of the TVA variants when she was in their head, and which plays out later on in the episode when she tells Loki more about the TVA and who they are and who the agents are, because he didn't believe it. But we get to see how Loki and Sylvia start fighting, and they end up in a future planet at an apocalypse that's about to happen. So perfect place to get stuck, you know?
Oh, for sure. And Lamentis, the episode Lamentis and the Planet Lamentis one, the whole episode was, in my opinion, probably one of the best episodes they had, just because of the cinematics that they used for this, the different angles, the different shots, the flowing shots that they had, especially during later on in the episode. It was just done so masterfully and was able to keep people really on the edge of their seats.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, cinematically, yeah, the shots and everything that was used, oh my God, man. It was great. It was great. I loved how they shot this thing, man. It was great. Visually, it was amazing. And you see that Loki and Sylvia is stuck and they're trying to get back, and they pretty much, anything they could do won't matter because the planet is going to get destroyed with another planet crashing into it. Mm-hmm. So anything they do and say is not going to matter because of what's going to happen. And one thing that happens is Sylvia explains that the workers at the TVA, they've always been told that they were created by the Time Gods, which in the last, like, two episodes we know about the Time Gods already, which was kind of explained there.
Yeah, the Timekeepers.
Yeah, the Timekeepers. And she says they're not, weren't created by the Timekeepers. They were picked out of different timelines and put there with their minds wiped, because the mm-hmm. one that she enchanted had a past memory, and he didn't believe that there. He didn't believe that. I mean, how is that information to you when she was saying this?
It was pretty crazy when you think about it, to try and say that they were just plucked out. But when you saw what happened to Hunter B-15, most notably, especially once you get into the next episode with the Nexus event, the kind of unlocked memories and things that they experience. And even if you look back at Mobius talking about how much he wanted a jet ski, like, what's he need a jet ski for? But it's because it was part of his from his plucked life.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was part of his plucked life there. You know, him wanting a jet ski, which I thought was kind of funny there, but it made sense later on. who don't want to go jet skiing, you know?
You don't. Yeah.
I thought that was great there. But we get a little flashback of Renslayer when she was an agent before she became a judge, going after the female version of Loki, Sylvie, when she was a kid. She pretty much plucked her out of her timeline there, and Sylvie's had this whole agenda to go after and take down the TVA because they took her life from her. I mean, what perfect agenda, man. You got plucked from mm-hmm. your timeline. Wouldn't you do what she did with her agenda?
Yeah, probably. But there is one thing that we did forget to mention in this. Between Lamentis and the Nexus event, the romantic relationship between Sylvie and Loki that develops, and the strong bond that they end up forging through the Lamentis situation and into the Nexus event, it's really crazy, and it goes really deep. And I think it ends up stirring even more feelings when you start figuring out that, hey, these people were not created by the Timekeepers. These are variants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what's really crazy about that right there, is that, you find out that they weren't created by the Timekeepers. And pretty much, I want to ask you this. Do you think what was happening at the end of episode 3 there with Loki and Sylvie? Ooh. Thunder in the background here. Thor, please. I'm sorry. I just had to borrow this for a paperweight tonight. I'm sorry. Please don't strike me down. And I hope to God we don't lose power, please, you know. But if I do, I'll just power up the computer with this thing again, you know. But one, Loki, my wife pointed this out. Do you think Loki's in love with himself?
I think this goes two different ways. It's easy to look at it in an outsider's perspective and say, oh, it's Loki falling in love with himself, with a narcissist. You know, he's you know, all about himself and all the self-interest and all that kind of stuff. But I think it goes deeper. I think this is more Loki learning how to love himself. And in turn, he does fall for Sylvie. She is a person unto herself, even if she is a Loki variant. So it is something to keep in mind, at least in that respect. But I think this is more Loki learning how to be able to love, really. Mm-hmm. Because the one thing that he's always been very on top of, it, with the exception of the Avengers, was that he doesn't really want a throne.
No, no. I think what drives him is the fact that when he found out that he came from the Frost Giants, I think that's what his main drive and motivation is. He's just angry, and he's held on to that anger all this time. He's held on to that anger, and it drives him. You know, he just
absolutely.
It's more like, you know, you find out, you know, you're something that you thought you weren't. You found out you're this, and it drives him crazy. And I think he's doing everything out and just wanting attention and just, yeah. With him, he's wanting someone to love him. And he found that, you know, learning how to love. Because Loki could be good. I mean, he was good at the beginning of Thor, the first Thor movie. Going back, you know, he was great. And he's a really complex character with a lot of emotion and depth. He is. And that's a good point, because I agree with you that he's looking to love himself there. But they finally, they set some kind of spike off, and they get saved by the TVA. And they get thrown in different rooms. And therefore, Sylvie shows, help me out here,
B-15.
Yeah, B-15, that you were plucked out and you had a life beforehand. And Renslayer wants to, she's like a devoted like agent. And she pretty much wants to in prune both Lokis. And they were going to go see the Timekeepers. And through that whole episode there, they went down and were finally introduced to the Timekeepers and Renslayer. And the Timekeepers basically was like death. And then all of a sudden, B-15 shows up and helps, and there's a big battle there with fighting and everything. And then Sylvie takes off one of the heads of the Timekeepers. But what the hell happened, Chris?
Oh, you end up finding out that the Timekeepers are nothing but androids. And in this battle of complete shock and just bewilderment, we see Loki ends up getting pruned by Renslayer.
Yeah.
And then Sylvie ends up attacking Renslayer to try and figure out what kind of information she can find there, ends up getting the best of her. And what was best, though, is that you had a mid-credit scene at the end of the Nexus event, and that was Loki awaking, and what we eventually learn is called the Void.
Mm-hmm.
And that ends up being really big.
Oh yeah, he wakes up, and there's different versions of Loki right there looking at him.
Yep.
You get an old version. Like, I like the costume of the old Loki, because it's like
straight comic book.
Yeah, straight comic book. And you had another version of Loki where he killed Thor and he has this hammer, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you get a little kid version of Loki. And then, of course, my favorite, I've talked with you this before, messaging back and forth, the alligator version of Loki.
That's right, the alligator version.
And we get to see the Void there, and it starts right off, man, action. It's like they're running, and they're like, you want to live, you come with us. Almost like a Sarah Connor moment. It's like, come with me if you want to live. And he's asking all these questions. We got no time for that. We got to take shelter because it's coming. And we see this big-ass cloud just coming and just taking out stuff. And then while they're running, you see stuff falling from the sky. Just you see a battleship with people on it, and they see this thing, and they're firing at it, and then this thing comes over them, and then just, they're gone. Mm-hmm. It's like the fog, man, coming at you.
What do they call that thing? The Lilith or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Totally ridiculous. So crazy how it just literally would gobble things up.
Oh, man. Yeah, it just gobbled things up. And when he gets with these other Lokis, they go down in this hole, and apparently they go down in this hiding place to get away, to hide, be safe. And apparently they explain what happened. You're in the void. You get pruned, and this is where you come. Everything, it's almost like the TVA, okay? The TVA has a closet, a toy box. The void is like a toy box. Anything they've reset in the timeline to throw in there, because it's never going to come out, and nothing ever comes back. It's almost at the end of the time there. And so they explain this, that everything the TVA has pruned has come to this place, and the cloud destroys them. It kills them. And apparently Loki wants to get out, and then he's trying to plot and find a way to get out of the void. We go back to TVA and you see Renslayer and Sylvie, and Renslayer's trying to play Sylvie, because Chris, I did not really believe anything Renslayer was telling Sylvie there.
Mm-hmm. At all. And then she kept trying to feed her all these different promises and all these different things to try and save her, or make her feel like that she was her ally, or that she was trying to figure it out too, which wasn't her intention at all. She wanted from both of them, put them in the void and be done with it. Because the void, like you mentioned, is where everything gets sent when it's reset. It is literally the end point of all time, and they don't know what's beyond, because that's not where the timekeepers haven't gotten that far yet. So, quote unquote. So, in Journey into Mystery, this whole episode really is about explaining the void, really what pruning was, and how everybody got to be. And of course, the astronomical amount of Loki variants that are in here, including apparently there's a lot of Easter eggs in this episode too, including the Thanos chopper. But apparently they had a frog version of Loki as well that was voiced by Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, they didn't show that, did they? If I can remember when they were.
No, I don't remember if they actually did.
No, I don't think they did, because a lot of stuff they edit, from what I understand, I'm going to throw this out here, a lot of stuff that I understand they edit and they added or took away, because it was right around the time when the pandemic was starting.
Yeah.
So they had to alter a lot of things here and there within filming there. But Sylvie, she ends up pruning herself, and she goes to the void because she believes the way to the void is at the end of the time, and whoever's at the end of the time is responsible for everything that they put her through. And she pretty much, she meets up with Loki, and it's like, I'm going to enchant this thing. And Loki's like, how are we going to enchant this? And she's like, you can do it. You're me. We're the same. You can do it. You just don't know how yet. And I do like the fact that how she shows him, it's like, hey, you can do this. You can do that. And Loki's like, oh, I can? It's like, yeah.
This is possible?
This is possible. Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like, it is possible, because you can do this and you can do that. And I do like the fact that this other Loki did show up at the hideout there. And he was I don't know what kind of Loki this one was. He showed up with a gang, and he's going to overtake the throne there. He's going to lead. And then all of a sudden the alligator Loki goes up and bites his hand off, and he's like almost singing like Bruce Dickinson there, like, ah! I love that part, man. And then they're all fighting, and you see the Loki that we're following, he's like trying to get away. He's like, I don't want none of this, man. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm getting the hell out of here. I just want to go until the end of time, find out who's responsible for this stuff, though. But Morbius, we get to see Morbius again, because he got pruned earlier, and we're asking too many questions because of Renslayer. Thanks. Thank you for that, Renslayer. And he meets up with Sylvie, and the plan is enchant the beast, and we'll, because he's the hound dog of the place. And Pretty much, man. That right there, visually, Chris. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that when they were trying to enchant the beast, the Elder Loki. One thing I kept in mind was the fact that the Elder Loki, when they're talking about different variants and timelines, before I get to him, he did mention that he almost had like a similar same timeline as our Loki. And he pretty much carbon copied himself so real that he faked his own death. So I'm thinking, I'm like, that's probably how later on he's going to use that. So I'm keeping that in the back of my head there, how this our Loki is going to be able to survive here. But they try to enchant the beast, and oh my God, the beast, man.
Yeah, the visuals on this thing was absolutely amazing. Seeing the classic Loki come in and literally create Asgard from the ground up using his immense power to try and distract the Lilith until Sylvie and Loki can try and enchant it. And lo and behold, you find out Loki does have the power, and they do enchant the Lilith. So absolutely crazy, though, just all the cinematics they had it in, losing classic Loki along the way. But man, it looked so great.
Yeah, the episode was really great. The visuals on that, how they did that there. But he sacrificed himself so they can get, because he believed in what they were trying to do. And
I want to take a quick break, and let's give a word from our sponsors.
But I want to kick back a few cold ones with my friends. I head over to City Limits Tap Room. City Limits Tap Room has a wide selection of TVs to watch your favorite sports, indoor and outdoor seating. They are pet friendly. City Limits Tap Room also has food made fresh to order, and the grilled cheese is excellent. I recommend the grilled cheese and the apple pie cider. The fries on the side, can't go wrong with that, baby. For more information for upcoming events, head over to facebook.com/City Limits Tap Room.
Keep up with the latest shows and content from Podcast City Network over on PodcastCity.net. Follow them on Facebook.com/PodcastCityNetwork, Twitter @PodcastCityNet. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, Podcast City Network, and on Twitch, Podcast City Network. Podcast City Network, your top source for independent podcasting. Be creative, be yourself.
You're listening to The Everett Lee Show.
The episode ended, I was pissed. I wanted more. He's like, I can't.
Oh, yeah, because at that point, you can see the Citadel at the end of time, and that was the biggest part. It's like, who's in the Citadel? And then we find out in For All Time, Always, the last episode, that it was He Who Remains, which a lot of people assume to be Kang the Conqueror, or at least a variant of Kang the Conqueror. So, So crazy how they ended up getting all the way to that point.
Yeah. I want to ask you this. When Miss Minutes showed up and the proposition that was given them, you know, be inserted in your timeline, you get what you want, and just go as things never happen. Or do you want to continue on this path and meet the person responsible for everything? I mean, what? That was a, you know, that was a kind of like, ooh, what are they going to do? Apparently, from what I understand, was that they shot some footage of Loki dreaming about him taking up that offer, with him being in Asgard, him holding, you know, Thor's hammer, and he's king, you know, of Asgard and all this stuff, and they were going to have the Thor Ragnarok music played, though, but they cut that. And they were going to show Sylvie back in her timeline, but they ended up cutting that there because of the extra footage towards the end of the episode that they put in with the variant of Kang the Conqueror there. And what was pretty interesting was that at the TVA there, B-15 or basically showed Morbius, if I remember there, that there were variants came out and said, look, we're variants. Here's the variants of Renslayer in this timeline, you know? And Renslayer was doing something, trying, getting files and everything from Miss Minutes there. So she had her own agenda there on what she was going to do and everything, which I thought was pretty interesting there, because they didn't really say what or where she was going. But back in the Citadel, we're introduced, man, to the variant of Kang the Conqueror. I mean...
Yeah, man. And that's crazy. And he talks about the other variants of himself and what they did in a multiversal war, of how they literally tried to conquer. And he really gives way to the idea of, oh, crap, this really is a variant of Kang the Conqueror, which, if you don't know about Kang the Conqueror, you guys need to go read up on him. Honestly, super powerful character. Crazy they're just now bringing him to the MCU, but hey, better late than never, because this is going to be one hell of a ride.
Yeah, it is going to be a hell of a ride because of where they're going to be going with this, because of what happened in this episode, because it set the tone for what's going to be coming here with the movies, which Kang explained, and he basically told them everything. Sylvie wanted to kill him. That was her whole agenda. Kill him, because you're the one, you screwed up my life. I want my life back. You're going to die. You're going to freaking die. And that's what she did. She wanted to kill him. Loki was trying to make her see the way about it, but she didn't want to hear it. She already made up her mind. It's like, what if he's lying? What if he's telling the truth? He's like, you kill me, you're going to have other variants come after you. And I've been reincarnated plenty of times. And he told him what was going to happen. So Sylvie went ahead, and Loki and Sylvie fought it out there. And then they kissed. They shared that moment. I was like, yes, about time, you know? And then she pushed him away, sent him back to the TVA. And he was all upset there. He was in grief. And Sylvie walked up and, damn, stabbed him. And then I liked his last words. He's like, I'll see you soon. And then that was it. What'd you think about that moment there when she killed Kang? It was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, well, it definitely gave way to the fact that they are going to bring in Kang the Conqueror and all of his illustrious glory. So that we will end up seeing one way or the other, as we've already seen that he's included in other films in the MCU that are going to be coming out. So... yeah, it's going to be really crazy to see Kang the Conqueror actually debut in the MCU.
Mm-hmm. The timeline. See the timeline start branching off into 64, 63, 65. I think the number they said was 63 or 65 different variants off the timeline.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. And pretty much Sylvie's sitting there. Renslayer disappears. She gets a lot of information she needs. She leaves. Loki's sitting there in grief, so he starts running, and he runs up to Owen Wilson, Morbius, and B-15, and saying, it's bad, bad. You know, he's bad. He's coming. He's going on about how bad everything is and everything stuff. And what threw me off was they looked and said, who are you? What department you work in? It was like, what? And then it's like he looks over, and he sees a statue. Chris, it reminded me almost of a Charlton Heston moment, Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
They
blew it up.
Yep. The statue of Kane. The timekeepers was replaced with statues of Kane. So Kane has conquered the TVA and resetted everyone's memory. So that left a lot of unanswered questions there. How familiar with Renslayer in the comics? How familiar are you?
Not that familiar.
Okay. What the research I did was, Renslayer, apparently, she's such a devoted TVA that she wanted to find out who was responsible, because she felt like she got played, you know, from that episode, finding out the timekeepers were androids. Apparently, Marvel put out a lot of stuff there that explained a lot of things, because it left a lot of unopened questions there, because we did get a mid-credit scene, kind of, which was season 2's coming. We don't know when it's going to happen, but season two of Loki is coming back, which will answer a lot of stuff, unanswered stuff, and also, which we'll be discussing here shortly, where this is going to be going and stuff, because of what the chain events that Loki set off for the rest of the MCU movies. But
oh yeah,
the thing was, Renslayer, she's going after and tracking down. She's going to track down Kang, and apparently in the comics, Kang, she falls for Kang, and she stands by his side as he conquers and goes and conquers different timelines and realms and stuff. So she falls for Kang, and she stands by his side and stuff and everything. And apparently she is going to become a villain, because you already could see it. She's already, she already has it in her, because I didn't really trust a lot she had to say and bring, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. If you saw how she interacted with Sylvie, what kind of manipulation she tries to use, especially with B-15 as well and Mobius. She's a manipulator. She's trying to manipulate things to her own end, and I think you're absolutely right that she will end up being probably a big-time villain going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going to be a villain. She's going to play... I believe we have not seen the last of her, because until Loki Season 2 comes back, whenever that's going to be, we're going to see her in the rest of the Marvel movies and stuff. But Madness has already started with the chain reaction, chain events from Loki there. And watching episode one all the way through the last episode, season six. All six, this season one, Chris, tell me. Tell me your thoughts and what do you have to say about season one of Loki?
Bravo. It was absolutely amazing from start to finish. Kept me on the edge of my seat all the way throughout. And it really told a wonderful story. I think that this is really going to set up in a huge way for Multiverse of Madness, as well as Thor, Love, and Thunder. And I think there's a lot of exciting things still pumping out from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this is proof.
Mm-hmm. There is. Can that I mentioned to you a while back ago, Yahoo News or whatever put out an article after Endgame. Can Marvel sustain this momentum with after Endgame? And it's been answered, yes.
Mm-hmm.
WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, Loki, Black Widow. There you go, man. They're not stopping. They're not slowing down anytime soon. And Kang the Conqueror is going to be the villain, the Thanos, through the next few years, because Marvel is going to be coming out with a lot of good stuff here, man. So what is now after Marvel now? We have another show, Chris, coming out on August 15th, if I got that correct. The What If series now. Did you see the trailer for this?
I did, and I'm very intrigued by it for a number of reasons, because originally when this was announced, it was seen as, hey, these are just a bunch of what-ifs that we've literally seen in the comic books or different renditions of characters that we want to be able to show in full spectrum in a what-if scenario. But it got me thinking even more that maybe the what-if series could even also tie into the multiverse a lot more than what people are thinking right now. So something to kind of keep in mind as well. But I guess we'll find out come August 15th.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested in the trailer to see how Agent Carter, she becomes Captain America. Then you get to see, instead of Star-Lord, Chris Pratt's, Peter Quill, getting picked up and taken to space by... I still call him Merle from The Walking Dead. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
From Guardians of the Galaxy. He was my favorite there. He picks up, Black Panther, and takes the place of Peter Quill. You know, it's these... I'm interested to see how everyone intertwines in their, You know, it's like, what if this person was this hero and this person was that hero? What if the different scenarios, mm-hmm. I think, is going to be great. And I do think it's going to be tied into it. And then what's going to happen is, with that being tied into it there, it's going to lead into way to what we're going to be expecting coming here from the next Marvel movie on September 3rd. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the trailers for this, man? This man.
Whew. I have. It looks like it's going to be really exciting. I'm interested to see how the storyline's really going to play out and how it's going to tie into the cinematic universe, if at all. Apparently it is supposed to a certain extent, so we will see. But yeah, man, I'm really excited for this one. I think it's going to be a really good movie.
Yeah, I'm excited about this, man. I'm telling you. Why? How come they didn't get Wu-Tang Clan to do the soundtrack to this, man? That's serious. I want to hear some damn Wu-Tang in this movie, man. Marvel, go back and add some Wu-Tang, man. I think you still got some time. please. I want to see, I'll tell you what I want to see out of this movie, Shang-Chi and the Legend of Ten Rings. I want to see some big dragons because we get some
glimpse.
I want to see dragons. See some damn dragons, man.
I think that'd be awesome, honestly, and especially if he's going to battle any of them. Like, that'd be totally awesome on so many levels.
Oh, God, yeah. Now, this has nothing to do with the MCU, apparently. Well, actually, I don't know, because in a way, well, I don't know. Actually, it's off of with Sony there. I don't want to throw this out here. The non-MCU movie that's owned by Sony. Venom, Let There Be Carnage, September 24th, man.
Let There Be Me?
I gotta throw this out there since you. Carnage and Venom. I saw Carnage and Venom both in person at one time at a wrestling event. I saw the independent wrestler, shout out the Venom, and Chris Carnage in the same room, and I didn't know what was gonna happen.
That's right.
I had to throw that out there. I thought that was a great moment there. Great moment in memory. But Carnage, I'm interested in that. I want to see how crazy Woody Harrelson's going to get as the serial killer turned into Carnage.
Oh, yeah. I think it could be very, very exciting. If you don't know much about Venom and Carnage, go back and read some comics. It's really exciting stuff. I was always a big Carnage fan. Definitely always exciting. And I'm really interested to see where they're going to go with it. I don't. With this being a Sony product, though, I don't think this will tie into the MCU whatsoever, but I still think this could be a really good movie.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. And then on November 5th, we get the Eternals. We finally got a clip from a preview thing from Marvel that put out a few months ago with talking about what the Phase 4 movies are coming out. And they showed a glimpse of the Eternals, actual footage. And it was like, hell yeah, about damn time we get something. But the trailer for the Eternals was great because apparently the Eternals started everything and they've kind of like stepped back and they've kind of watched how things have been going. And now they decide, you know what, we got to step in and do something. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great. I like the trailer because there's like, who's going to lead the Avengers next? And then one of the Eternals said, I can. And they all laughed. that was great. So it's cool that they know about the Avengers. You know, they were here first beforehand, but apparently two of the Eternals, I mentioned this on a few podcasts we've done before, are the parents of Thanos.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, they're apparently the parents of Thanos, but I'm excited to see that one and how that's going to play into everything. But this movie here, last on the list I gave you, makes a lot of sense now because, Chris, how cannot Sony deny that Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield are in Spider-Man No Way Home, which comes out December 17th? How can they?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there's no way to deny it at this point. Spider-Man No Way Home is going to tie into so many different things and I think really set the stage before we get to Multiverse of Madness with Doctor Strange. So, excuse me, it will end up being a very pivotal film. And we're going to see a lot of characters run through this. And like you said, multiple variations, the multiple variants, if you will, of Spider-Man. So it's going to be very interesting, and I think Doctor Strange is rumored to show up in this one as well. So it's going to be good, man. It's going to be really good. December 17th.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm still waiting for that trailer. Everyone just put up the trailers. Did you like the Rick Roll trailer I put out there on my page there?
Oh, God.
I want to shout out to Ripper Blackheart for sharing that, man. I got so excited because Ripper Blackheart was supposed to join us tonight. He's a little bit under the weather. I should have mentioned this at the top of the broadcast. Ripper Blackheart, hope you feel better, because he was supposed to come in and join us tonight there. And I told him, I said, you feel better, come back on, just let me know, because he's always welcome here. As this is pretty much your second home here, because this show got you started on your direction.
That's right.
So pretty much get well, Ripper, and you know, maybe with one of these movies that we mentioned, we'll get on, all three of us get on at the same time and talk and discuss about it. But
yeah, buddy,
Spider-Man No Way Home is going to play a big part. I mean, what happened in Loki, Chris, is going to be playing a big part in Spider-Man No Way Home, because with the variants of different Spider-Mans and villains coming in from the Amazing Spider-Man and the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans, the Sam Raimi versions. And then, of course, I heard there's rumors why did my brain just go blank there? one of the comic book characters that's going to he's going to be introduced for the first time on screen, on the movie screen, is the Hunter. Karin, or I can't say his name, you know, Kagan, the Hunter. He's going to be hunting Spider-Man. Yes. After what happened with Far From Home, after Mysterio apparently revealed that who Peter Parker was, Peter Parker's Spider-Man, and he's going to be hunting him through the city and stuff. I think it's going to be great there, because he's running from the law, because he got framed for killing Morbius, and supposedly Morbius did another illusion, and Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be back in this, because they're also going to be setting up doing something with the Sinister Six in the multiverse. There's talk and discussion about the Thunderbolts, the Dark Avengers. Man, it's going to be great. And yeah, Doctor Strange is going to be, like you said, having a cameo in this. Wanda, you know, the Scarlet Witch, and apparently possibly Loki is going to have a cameo in this too, because all those players are going to be playing a major part in the Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness, man. And this is going to be great, man. There's a lot of great stuff to look forward to in the next few years here with Marvel. Anything you want to add before we close out on this here with everything that we discussed?
All I know is I'm excited. The MCU is still rolling hard, and you cannot deny it at this point. They put out not one, not two, but three great miniseries on Disney Plus, and now they're going to have more movies coming out and more series. So it's going to be really exciting to see where a lot of this goes, and hats off to Disney and Marvel for making all this happen.
Yeah, I'm definitely entertained. How crazy the world is at this moment and stuff. At least I can come home and watch Disney Plus and find something good I can watch. My wife and my daughter can watch, and we can just all sit together at home and watch it. So, yeah, big shout out to Disney Plus and Marvel for making everything possible to take me away from the daily grind and take me to a story and an adventure. You know, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. So, with that said, that's the end of the discussion. And before we do close, I do want to thank you, Chris, for jumping back on here as I hit my own mic in excitement. I want to thank you for jumping back on here with me and discussing the great content and great shows that we, in movies that's going to be coming out and stuff. But What's Chris Carnage have in store here? What's coming up, and what should people be looking out for?
Oh, Chris Carnage has been hard at work with Fixed Edge. Fixed Edge will be going live tomorrow night, Wednesday at 8 p.m. to talk about the latest sports lines and how to have a smart system if you're going to do any kind of gambling or betting on sports, because you can't do it without having a system. Otherwise, you're just throwing money away. So definitely make sure to check us out live on YouTube Live by searching Fixed Edge Investing and smashing the subscribe button so you don't miss out, as well as Final Score, which will go live for episode 114 this next Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Live. And I do love the shirt. It looks good on you, man. And we're definitely going to hopefully try and give away some more shirts here in the future. So definitely make sure to keep your eyes peeled for when we actually do that. And Chris Carnage also has a couple of little things in the works, but we're not going to let any of those loose quite yet. So definitely make sure to keep your eyes peeled on the Chris Carnage official pages on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram.
Nice, nice. I do want to say that thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Everett Lee Show. I want to thank everyone that jumped in on the chat tonight. Shout out to Camden Cruz and Jordan DeMoya. For
good old JDM
for coming on. Thomas Ryan, thanks for jumping on and watching too. Indie film director and producer Thomas Ryan, I've had him on the Every Lee Show plenty of times. Theater of Terror, number two is in the works. Be sure to check that out and check out postings on Theater of Terror Facebook page, and check out Thomas Ryan on Facebook there. But Everett Lee, you want to listen to more to Everett Lee Show, you can head over to podbeam.com. Check out the Everett Lee Show there with episodes like this episode and previous content over on that platform. Stitcher Radio, Everett Lee Show's on Stitcher Radio, iHeart, Amazon Music, iTunes, and of course, Podcast City Network. Let's do another screenshot.
Yeah, buddy.
Of a Podcast City Network. Here, let me blow it up. Right there. You can head over to Podcast City Network right there and check out the shows such as Final Score, Deathmatch Wrestle Podcast, Riff Griffin Show, Everett Lee Show, Urban Nerd Weekly, Verbiage Shenanigans, One Man Crew Podcast, Movie Nights, Imaginarium, Not a Hockey Market Podcast, Not Your Average Podcast, and the 716. Yeah, I always get that wrong. Sorry, guys. Love you. Nerd, the Nest Podcast, Fixed Edge, Horror Pop After Midnight. I want to congratulate Robin and Nicole for getting on their Hamilton Radio, roosterradio.com for Horror Pop After Midnight on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Head over to rooster.com to check out their content. And right here on Podcast City Network, ELS Uncut, Wrestle Popcast, Chris Carnage Show, and much, much more right there on podcastcity.net. And you can, of course, you can follow Podcast City Network over on Facebook. Podcast City Network on Facebook. Give it a like and a follow. And Twitter at Podcast City Net. And subscribe and follow to the Everett Lee Show on Facebook. Give me a like and follow right here on Everett Lee Show on Facebook and on Twitter at the Everett Lower Score Lee. And I'm forgetting something. I know I'm forgetting something. This always happens at the end here. My mind's just going blank there because I'm so excited with talking about all this content and everything that you can check out on Podcast City Network. Everything that I mentioned is in the description of this episode. So go through there, and we got links. We also links, as I talked about earlier, for the services for Podcast City Network and merchandise. Link is in the description of this episode right here on the Everett Lee Show. And that is it.
And that wraps it up for this episode of the Everett Lee Show. Thank you, Chris Carnage, for coming back on as always. It's been a while since we did one of these, and it was great having him on. And again, I want to thank everyone that tunes in to the Everett Lee Show on the video portion when I go live on my Facebook page. Everett Lee Show on Facebook. Give that a like and a follow. Over on Twitter at the @Lee, Everett Lee. And, of course, Podcast City Network, the official host of the Everett Lee Show. We have a lot of good content over there, a lot of great shows. You can buy some merchandise of the Everett Lee Show over on the shop section. And we offer services and a great bunch of great content from a great lot of shows that's on Podcast City Network. And that wraps it up. Everett Lee signing off. Have a great day. And I'll see you next time for another new episode of the Everett Lee Show.